Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're going to start hour two of the El Paso History Show with a normal thing that we do called the El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her history moment today is about a Texas Ranger, Ernest Diamond Dick St. Leon.
A Texas Ranger that was a gem of a lawman. Ernest St. Leon, better known to his friends and foes as Diamond Dick, earned his nickname for the prominent diamond stick pin he always wore. Sometime after his discharge from the U.S. Army, he joined the famed Company D of the Texas Rangers. Diamond Dick had a tough reputation. He was not afraid to use his guns, and his devotion to duty was legendary. To the point, once chasing a man who had stolen a horse and buggy in El Paso, St. Leon boarded a train and got ahead of the man three times, eventually bringing him to justice out of pure doggedness. When Diamond Dick was hot on your trail, you might as well give up because he certainly wasn't going to let you get away. While chasing three horse thieves outside of El Paso, Diamond Dick was wounded and his newly sworn deputy, a Dr. Bureau, was killed instantly during a gun battle with the thieves. Though Dick was mortally wounded, he still managed to bring the thieves into custody and to justice. But he succumbed to his wounds on August 1, 1898. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went there, you were.
Bernie
was standing there, hanging out on the internet. That's a cool thing to do, though. You got the History Alliance doing that?
That's right. We got the History Alliance, who's got, the Facebook page has over 47,000 followers. Yeah, is that amazing? And if you want to get involved with it, you can give Bernie Sargent a call at 915-581-7920, but you can't do it right now because he's out at Concordia Cemetery being involved in history out there.
Busy
the walkthrough.
Boy, busy boy.
Yes, and we got to thank people like Barbara Givenbaney and her crew over there at Remember El Paso Win, their Facebook page, which is also out there showing history to everyone out there that goes to their page with stories on history and pictures of El Paso and the region. I mean, this is all part of, you know, sharing the history of El Paso.
And that's a good page to do
with.
Actually, they have another administrator working with Barbara. His name is Ken Weiss, and they do a great job. And they're looking for help. So if you want to get involved in that page, go on that page and talk to them there. All right, history abounding, and we got more of it to go. We had the first hour with Mount Cristo Rey. Now we're going to talk about markers. And historic markers in the state of Texas is a big deal. So we got some folks in here who are part of that big deal, and we want to welcome them this morning. We've got Mark Calamia. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Glad to be here.
And also we have Barbara Welch. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Thank you so much.
And you guys are on the committee of the El Paso County Historical Commission. You are the chairs, I think, co-chairs of the marker committee.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, what's a marker? I mean, how do we know one when we see one?
it's a big old metal thing that you fall over if you walk, if you go forward too far.
You'll hit your head on it.
Or at least stub a toe.
But I didn't ask you this. I'm not even sure I know the answer. Maybe you don't either. How many are there in the state of Texas? It must be thousands.
There are thousands. I don't have an actual number, but in El Paso alone, there are hundreds.
Texas alone has more than 16,000 markers now.
Wow. See, there's a lot of markers. Mm-hmm. And so the guy who makes the markers, there's one company that makes the markers.
Southwell. Mm-hmm.
And they're doing quite well, apparently.
Well, we keep them in business.
I mean, the thing is, though, you can always find another thing to be historic because every 50 years something turns historic.
Well, it's Texas. I mean, everything's historic. Look, you're doing the minute every week at least. You're never going to run out.
No. No,
my
all.
Gosh, no. And there's so much more I could be doing. It's like,
I know. And that's markers is much the same.
But some people want to know, how do they get a marker if they want one? What is your criteria for having a marker?
Well, basically, if an individual person wanted to do a marker, like on their house, and the old Pancho Villa slept here as opposed to George Washington slept
here.
Yeah,
it might be Pancho, more likely.
Yeah, so
Pancho Villa planned a war here. Yeah,
something like that. So basically what they would have to do is, of course, they would have to do some actual research and get some, you know, not just like word of mouth, but try to pin down some documented facts about the house or whatever it happens to be. Okay.
Okay, but if you have you have to have something historic happen.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, Mark's like much as I love my house,
and it could be historic.
It's an old house, but it's not a historic house. It's just old.
Well, you weren't A.B. Fall. If you had been A.B. Fall,
then yes. But I'd also be in the grave.
Well, yeah. you have other problems. But I mean, Mark's house may not be historic. Although when Mark becomes famous someday, we'll go back and make that.
It will. He'll get a marker
for the Texas Historical Commission. If an event occurred, if it's 50 years or more, it's considered historic in general. A topic it can be historic. If somebody died, say, within last 10 years, it can be considered historic as well.
So those are requirements from the state of Texas.
They're guidance.
Guidelines, okay.
Yeah. And it wouldn't just have to be a person staying there. Suppose your house was the first one that was a poured concrete structure, so it had some kind of architectural significance, or the first of any of, like a myriad of categories.
Well, the Mills Building, for example, you mentioned poured concrete. Mm-hmm. That building is an historic marker on it.
Yes, and I think it might be the second of that type of poured concrete.
So. Well, the thing is, though, that's what makes things historic. Like you mentioned the Prospect House that Pancho Villa stayed in, lived in. That could deserve a marker. Various things could deserve a marker. And so what do you have in the works right now? What is a marker that you've got going on?
Go for it.
Okay. We have a list that we've been working on recently, and there are various categories. We have replacement markers, and then we have new markers. Now, the replacement markers, some of the replacement ones that are kind of deteriorated, or there's some wording that's not appropriate today as it was back then when they were first put up, are going to be replaced. And those, a couple of those are the Casa Ortiz, the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. Now, there's one on the west side where Keystone is now, and one in Socorro. Both of those are in the works right now as replacement markers.
And obviously the Camino Real just recently, thanks to Bernie Sargent and other people, got entirely – I mean, there's signs throughout the entire length of it coming through the area.
That was a 12-year overnight success.
Yes, it was. Yeah, see, all of these are
– Gary Williams was involved big time.
Absolutely. So that, I mean, the Camino Real just in and of itself.
Okay, so now those markers were put up separate from the ones you're talking about.
Yes, yes.
So you're talking about the historic markers that are metal, they're heavy duty.
That's correct.
They have a lot of writing on them about the event that you're talking about. And the ones we just mentioned are the new markers for the Camino Real, which is a pretty good-sized sign with a symbol on it.
Yes.
And something about
those are roadside markers.
Roadside
markers and were approved, developed through the National Park Service, okay? Uh-huh. They had to have final approval from there. So that's a separate process altogether from the ones we're talking about.
Did THC get involved in that at all, or would you know?
I think it goes directly through the Park Service.
I think they were involved, but mostly the Park Service in that.
And so you'll see those down Donovan Drive and wherever is the Camino Real.
Yes.
The real one.
Yes, and so now the ones that Mark is talking about is we're trying to pull out areas on the Camino Real, which is in and of itself historical, but the different areas that have specific significance in trying to put markers in those. And so we have one that we have scheduled at Keystone, and then we have one that we have scheduled down in Socorro.
Right.
And we know those two points were on the Camino Real.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And what in the middle of it, there may be a point or two which is not really defined, because one of the problems was the river moved.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So maybe the road moved a little bit as well.
Correct. Yeah,
but so we don't know within 10 feet exactly where it went. But in some cases we do. For example, at Pepe's restaurant.
Absolutely.
It went, I kid you not.
Yeah.
That was the
I know.
It went right the road, the original concrete road that they poured for the for the, what was that highway that began with a B?
I was,
that highway.
Bankhead.
Bankhead. The Bankhead, Bankhead highway went right through that area. And so it was the first road they put in concrete. You can still find concrete out there. And if you extended it through what is now Pepe's building, you'd go right through his kitchen.
Wow. Oh, I think we could put it right in the middle of Pepe's restaurant. Yeah, I don't think he'd mind. It'd be a great tourist attraction.
We could go for an historic marker at Pepe's. It'd be a little problematic, maybe. But that's the kind of thing you guys would sort out in your committee.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what, if you get a request from somebody, how do you get a request? They email you? Or
Basically, people do pretty much email the El Paso County Historical Commission. And it's a little bit complicated because you do have to go onto the El Paso County website right now and kind of work your way through it.
Oh, do you have a phone number you want to throw out?
Mark's phone number.
People can call at 303-526-8272 if they have ideas for a new marker.
Say that again slower for people who live where I live.
303-526-8272.
I think I got it.
And I, if you wish, I can talk about the process here.
Yes, how do you do it? Okay, somebody
wants a process. The whole process of what it's
entailed. Hello, Mark. I would like a marker for something at my house or somewhere nearby that I think is cool.
Okay, so or they can talk. The committee, the County Historical Commission, can initiate a marker too.
Okay.
So this is the process. If I'm quoting a bit from the Texas Historical Commission website's guidance here on this. So the applicant researches a topic and writes a narrative. Then the applicant would contact the County Historical Commission, in this case the El Paso County Historical Commission, and the commission forwards the application to the Texas Historical Commission. Then the applicant requests requests an application fee, and then the THC reviews and scores applications. The THC accepts public comments on applications, and the applications are approved in January. The THC requests marker payment, and the applicant sends in the payment.
How much money?
Well, that varies from the markers. Mm-hmm. Right now, a subject marker, which is the most common kind, is they raised the price just for this year, and it's $2,200 right now for a marker.
That's for the fabrication. It's $100 for the application.
So
to make the metal thing that sticks in the ground.
The metal thing.
So all total, it's $2,300 if you include the application
fee. And that's for one of the large ones. That's the largest.
And now sometimes the county will pay that fee?
That is indeed correct.
That's our appropriations are for that.
We initiate a certain amount of markers ourselves. Also, if a person sends over, they suggest something and we on the commission agree that it has a certain amount of historical significance that is really important to the area, we could just run with it, in which case we would pay for the entire thing.
Okay.
Or make somebody else pay for it.
Well,
it can be an outside entity.
Some people are extremely proud of their, their family or their house or whatever, and they have the money to do it. So
that helps out.
But it always has to go back to the facts, ma'am. I'm not kidding.
Watch the
pounding.
Okay, sorry.
So the marker.
Italian.
Watch this. When I hear that,
yeah,
that's what you sound like.
Sorry.
So to finish that process, the marker staff then prepares the inscription, and the inscription is sent to the County Historical Commission and an applicant for review. Then changes, if any, are made to the inscription, and then once approved by the El Paso County Historical Commission, the marker is ordered. Foundry casts and ships the marker, and then the County Historical Commission and or the applicant installs the marker. Then the County Historical Commission and or the applicant plans marker dedication, and that's a big thing we'll talk about in a
party
moment.
Time, party
and then
time.
Marker staff enters the information on an atlas. So there is a Texas atlas for all markers.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. And there's like 250 some odd counties, and there's a historical commission in every one of those.
In most of them.
Yeah. And everybody's trying to get this out to happen.
That's correct.
How long is the normal process?
It really depends. For a subject marker, which is the has to go through the most amount of hoops jumping through, it actually takes a few years. Now, there are other kinds of markers that we haven't talked about, like cemetery markers, which are smaller. We just had the dedication for one last week, which I could talk about a little bit. But
the Bailey.
Those are the Bailey.
Yeah.
They're little round markers. And those don't – I mean, that one took long overall, but those can be, say, a 1 to 2 year process.
Well, that was longer though. That was like
that one was long.
Because I remember Bernie was involved in the beginning.
Because they actually documented as many graves as they could out there, and there were 1,500.
Yeah.
So their entire process, it was amazing, and I
hidden behind a building business out there.
I'm more of a theoretical person, and I would just like to say, like, markers. Markers are so important because, you know, they are our history. They are our family. Yeah. I mean, they ground us in a really, like, an actual way. And when we were out at Bailey, you saw that. You saw an entire community come together and, you know, honor the past, ground the future in the past, honor the ancestry. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see people. And everybody looks at markers, or lots of people look at markers as tourist attractions, which is cool. I mean, you know, you bring people in and they love El Paso history. We love El Paso history. But it's also really important to just, you know, have the sense of community that we all grew from here in El Paso.
Hey, you define it. What was it? And
yeah,
now you know.
What we were and what we will become.
And to follow up on what she just said, a really important point is that it really gives us a sense of place and what happened at those places. We as human beings are rooted in place, and memory is connected to place. And when you see those markers, they do bring to light what happened in the past, important events that happened there or a person that lived there, et cetera. But it is that place that we all can connect to as human beings.
You guys are volunteers, right?
Yes.
How'd you get this to be on the commission?
Applied.
to whom?
We had to apply to the county commissioner's court.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to be, what, appointed?
We're appointed.
By the judge or a commissioner, correct?
That's correct.
By one of the people sitting up there looking at you, looking down on you.
In fact, we've those of us who want to have just reapplied for reappointment.
And that's what you got to do.
It's a two-year stint.
And also the idea, you don't just do markers, you do other stuff.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Like you just said, Bailey, you do the cemetery preservation, national, just, I mean, there's other things you do.
Another one that's really, really important is the undertold stories. And that was my first marker was Esther Portillo Tremley, who is an important El Paso Chicana writer and playwright.
So basically educational programs.
Well, not just people that are left out of history. You know, as we expand, I mean, you know, they say history is the history of the winner, and a lot of different groups were left out of that history of the winner, which are coming back. So it's a lot of women, of African-American history.
We got to take a break. What are you holding up there, Mark?
Here's an example of what she's talking about. The Estella Portillo Tramley marker was dedicated just in February of this year, and it was placed there at Chamizal National Memorial. And it recognized a playwright and author and poet who had been unrecognized for many years, a woman, a Chicana here. Mm-hmm. So we were very proud to recognize her finally, and right there were some of her plays debuted at Chamizal National Memorial Theater.
First woman to win the Quinto Sol Award, which is for Chicana. So this is an important woman Chicana writer.
Right. A lot of reasons to have a marker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got to take a break here. Should we do that?
We'll do that.
We have some trivia to ask.
Yes,
and
we do.
We have a cup to give away from Ruben.
Yes,
from
we
the
do.
First hour, a Crystal right. Ray cup, and a DVD, and a Pepe's and yada yada.
Yes, we got all kinds of stuff.
Making us hungry.
Well, the Pepe's is down to just $20 for the month of September. He wrote 25 on them, so we gave away 25. Tough luck, Pepe. But the thing, well, he didn't care. Yeah, but it's Pepe's is good stuff, mm-hmm. and they've already picked a special. It was the what was it? I know what it was.
I don't remember.
It was the Chili Rellenos.
Ah. Mm.
Chili Rellenos. They're yelling at me in
there
the control
go.
Room.
There. Okay,
they knew that. Okay, what do you got in the way of questions?
Melissa. Okay, I had to look because I was making notes on some other things here. Okay, the first question is: the El Paso County Historical Commission members are elected or appointed to their positions?
Oh, that's the question?
That's the question.
Oh,
are
I
they
see.
Elected or are they appointed?
Oh, that's a hard one. And then you got another question behind
yes.
that?
Yes. And then the El Paso County Historic Commission, besides the county historical markers, can also or has also been involved in other types of programs, name one or more. And we talked about a couple of different ones
here. You think
here.
They're going to get that?
I think they will.
If they want to get that, they have to answer that question on the phone?
Yeah, they have to. Call us at 915-544-5555. 5876 or 915-544-KTSM, or they can also call and make up a question for us.
Why not?
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Ressler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
At the Rides Auto Group at I-10 in Yarborough, we've always loved the military. Our relationship with Fort Bliss has always been, how can I say this, blissful. Myself, I was never able to get into the military. I was classified as 4F, which means in case of war, I'm a hostage. Something you might be too if you go anywhere other than the Rides Auto Group for your next car, truck, or SUV. They've got great financing at Rides. They got me financed when I was just a caddy at a miniature golf course. And trust me, my credit was no good after my wife and I split up. It was tough to stay married. My wife would kiss the dog on the lips, but she wouldn't drink from my glass. Now Rides sells everything, especially sports cars and trucks, because girls go wild for sports cars and trucks. I once dated a girl that was so wild, one night she gave her number to the mechanical bull. But you won't find any bull at the Rides Auto Group. Just straight talk and straight deals. So call 915-629-7433. The Rides Auto Group, where you'll get a lot of selection and a little respect.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
That's just bull.
I'm voting in the midterm elections because
my constitutional right.
Because my ancestors died.
And to make it better for my children.
The women before me fought endlessly.
So we can remain free,
helping the community out.
I'm voting in the midterm elections because
I know every vote makes a difference.
My opinion matters.
I vote in the midterm elections.
To register to vote, go to IamAVoter.com. And don't forget to vote Tuesday, November 6th.
Sponsored by iHeartMedia and the Civic Culture Coalition.
You know, our Jimmy John's new 9-grain wheat sub has the perfect amount of grain.
Freak, yeah, it does. Any less, it'd be grain lacking. Any more, it'd be obnoxious.
9 grains. It's just so confident. I mean, it says I'm high quality, I'm substantial, I'm flavorful, but I don't have to prove myself to anyone.
This 9-grain wheat sub is practically an inspirational poster.
I want to possess the character and depth of this 9-grain wheat sub.
You guys talking about being that 9-grain wheat sub again?
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat yeah, freak yeah!
When the need for senior care arises, there's no place like home. Your loved ones should never have to give up living at home. Visiting Angels will provide home care for your mom or dad at home up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You'll select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. Look up visitingangels.com or call 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Franchises are available. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we stirred up Emma and Margaret. There's one line open, 544-5876. Talk to Shelley, see what you got here. And we have a lot of surprises. Oh, including this mug from Crystal Ray.
That's right. It's a nice one with the picture of the statue.
You've got to give that away today. So, all right, let you know something coming on here. October 27, next week, hour one on our radio show. Vladimir von Sirikoff, he's a new director of the El Paso Museum of History. He will be our guest, and he'll tell us all about El Paso history. Maybe.
Yes.
We'll find out.
We'll find out his take, because he's brand new to the area.
Yeah, what
so
do you think about this? The hour two, our guest is Jeff Romney, director of Archaeology Museum. He's got a summary of what is next for the museum. It reopens in November. It's been under renovation for a couple of months, actually 6-8 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to ask him to also explain some of the pre-Spanish civilizations that were all over the Southwest. Jeff is an expert at this. Chaco Canyon, Mesa Verde, Casas Grandes, Hueco Tanks. A lot of places had ancient people in them all over our area. And if you don't know that, he'll tell you. November 3rd, hour one, we have Keith Wilden coming in, talking about Old West history. And November 10th, International Museum of Art History. So
that's right.
What you got?
Well, Tom Lee Month is ongoing. And we have, tomorrow we have at 1 p.m., we have the Comanche, Comanchera, An Ever-Moving Culture, the presentation by Jane Myers, and it's at the O'Keefe. Oh, this is in Santa Fe. If you want to go. And that will be at the
Just
O'Keefe Theater in Santa Fe. And then Sunday, October 21st also, we have Homelands, Four Friends, Two Countries, and the Fate of the Great Mexican-American Migration. This is by Alfredo Corchado, and it reads from and he reads from and discusses his book at the Literary Bookshop at the Pepper Tree Square on Mesa Street. That will be tomorrow at 1 p.m. And then Thursday, October 25th at 2:30 p.m., it's the Tour of the Paths of the North Mural. This is followed by a presentation by Dr. Melissa Warwick at the R.E. Thomason Federal Building and Courthouse at Campbell and San Antonio Streets.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that would be really interesting because people always ask about that one. Then you have also that same day at 6:30 p.m., there's a lecture series on Tom Lee's murals at Texas and New Mexico in the 1930s being given by Deborah Rindidge, and that'll be at the El Paso Museum of Art. So that's got some great things going on this week.
TomLee.com for all the details in the world. All right, let's talk to Emma. Emma is on the radio. Good morning, Emma. Thank you.
We love you.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Our ambassador.
They are elected. He is answering the question. The people on the commissioner's court are elected. What about the commissioners on the historical commission?
There you go.
How hard is this? You got yourself a winner, Emma. Hey.
Emma continues to be our ambassador.
Our judges say yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes. The judges go yay.
Well,
you've got a coffee cup.
We've got a coffee cup from Mount Crystal Ray, if you'd like that Ruben left us from the first hour. Or you can have an El Paso Gold DVD or Pepe's gift certificate for $20 in his wonderful food.
We
have a coffee cup from Mount Crystal Ray. It has a beautiful picture of the statue.
Okay. Coffee cup is gone.
Okay.
Well, thank you for that. Hold on. Sure.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, is it? Okay. And that's a Trost House, too. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, good for you. All right, tell you what, when you give your name and number to Shelley, have her give me a copy. We'll talk to you about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
Hold on here, Shelley. We'll talk to you about all this stuff. Appreciate it. And I cut her off, but I didn't kill her. She's still alive in the phone business.
Don't lose
here.
Emma.
We got Margaret coming. Are you ready for Margaret? You think Emma was interesting. Margaret, how's it going?
Hey, Margaret.
Is this the Margaret from Arizona?
This is Margaret, yes. Margaret Trost-Smith.
Trost-Smith. Well, Margaret, how goes it today? Well, you just heard us talking to this lady, Emma, about the house for sale, which is obviously a Trost. Okay.
Okay. Actually, just by telling us right now, we can look into it. So what could you possibly tell us what the incorrect information is? Uh-huh.
Okay, that one's going to be taken under advisement.
Under advisement.
And
advisement.
At this point, if you had $2,300, I guarantee you it would work.
Margaret, if you, you know, can I make a suggestion? Why don't you email Bernie that information,
you want to change.
What you want to change, and then he can forward it on to him?
That's correct.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Okay, you want to do a trivia question?
Well, she's in Arizona. So
I know, but you can make one up.
Oh.
Well, no, you have to come to Claire.
Yeah,
to
she's not going to be
iHeart
in town
physically to get the prize. So, well, fair enough. No, that won't work. Well, thanks for ringing up, and your information has been duly filed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and Mark said, some of the markers have information that is correct. Some have markers or information that is not,
politically correct.
Politically correct.
Yeah, there's one on the Waco tanks about Indians that they don't like.
And so we do indeed look at those and try to have them redone.
There you go.
And I'll check with Bernie on that too.
Margaret, thanks for calling. Good to talk to you.
Take care.
All right, we're going to move on to another break and come back and do El Paso, Inc.
Okay.
Hey, interesting stuff going on there. Shall we do that?
We shall do that.
Sergio, are you ready for another commercial? What the heck? We don't have enough commercials, do we?
Here, no, not enough.
3, 2, 1, go.
Smith couldn't get out of bounds, and the clock runs out.
No! What was that? That was a bad play all around.
You know what else is a bad play? Voting for Yvette Harrell for Congress.
Who?
Yvette Harrell. When she was a state rep, she got $500,000 in state contracts.
Oh, that's a selfish play.
Wait, she was supposed to watch over our money, and $500,000 of it ended up going to her own company?
Yep. Then Harrell didn't disclose the profits until she got caught.
Man, that's shady.
Very. Harrell also helped lead this controversial D.C. lobbying group at the same time she was a state rep. She spent thousands on all these trips for them, and guess who paid for it?
Us.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Man, she's only in it for herself.
I know. Even her fellow Republicans say she can't be trusted to look out for us.
So, game over for Yvette Harrell.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that's the game. Paid for by DCCC, dccc.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee, DCCC is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Steve Pierce is disguising himself to get elected. Actually, he's just like Donald Trump. He votes with Trump 90% of the time. In Congress, Pierce voted for Trump's health care plan, which would have thrown hundreds of thousands of New Mexicans off of health insurance and let insurance companies deny coverage based on pre-existing conditions like cancer. Like Trump, he holds backward views on women. Pierce said a wife should submit as a matter of obedience to her husband. Pierce lies just like Trump. He said he owned a party rental business, but it was just revealed it was actually an oil and gas business. He concealed the fact that he made millions from the oil and gas industry while he voted to weaken energy regulation. Big surprise. He votes with Trump, lies like Trump, acts like Trump. That's the real Steve Pierce. We cannot let him become governor.
Paid for by New Mexicans for Michelle Bolsonaro's treasurer.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, guess what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.?
How Khalid's rise to fame is propelling an El Paso recording studio and its push into virtual reality.
Also in the Inc., what you need to know to uncork the fun at this year's El Paso Wine Fest.
And yeah, I couldn't get that one loud enough. And as early voting gets underway, full coverage of the key races.
El Paso Inc. is El Paso's only locally owned business journal.
El Paso Inc. is available for home and business delivery and online at elpasoinc.com.
On ABC 7 Extra Sunday night at 10:35, El Paso Politics with guests Todd Curry from UTEP, Bob Moore from the El Paso Times.
I thought I had nothing else to say.
You're on there.
ABC 7, Saul Sines hosts Extra this Sunday night at 10:35 p.m.
There's a lot going on there.
My name wasn't on there, so I left it off.
Then we'll just talk to you. We'll talk about you. We'll talk around you.
Yes.
And you're going to go to Concordia.
I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to Concordia Cemetery for the walkthrough history, and I better see every one of these listeners out there today. So, because I'm going to be there, you better be
there's
there.
There's 3 in Northeast that aren't coming.
Aww.
But there's 4 in Northwest that are coming.
There you go.
See, you're all set.
All right. See you all next week.
Have a good one. And in the meantime, we've got to talk more history about the historical sites and markers. The sites don't all have markers, but there's a lot of sites in El Paso that could
That's
have
correct.
A marker.
That's correct.
Can you think of any that you haven't done yet that you want to
well,
do?
Well, we've been collating an enormous list. I mean, I'm not kidding. We have some that we're working on now that are in process, and I think Mark will talk a little bit about that. But people send suggestions to me, and I have over 100 suggestions on the ongoing list.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff. So, just to back up and state who we are, what we're doing here, it's the El Paso History Radio Show, of course. But the people in the studio this morning are with the El Paso County Historical Commission. They are volunteers who are appointed to their volunteer jobs. And y'all have real jobs doing other things. Mark works at the Chamizal. And you're
I'm one of the owners of Tricky Falls.
So there you are, being busy as can be. And Mark is the tribal liaison of also Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. You get to do that as well.
That's part of my responsibilities, yes.
You get over there much?
Sometimes, whenever they need me.
Cool. Okay. But so the two of you now are volunteering for the Historical Commission, and you are on the marker committee, and that's what we're talking about. If you want a historic marker to be placed somewhere, how does one get one? And that's the idea. They petition you guys and to talk about it and figure out how to get in line. And you have your own list of things.
Yeah, there's also every year the Texas Historical Commission, which is the parent of all of the other historical commissions throughout Texas, has themes. And the themes for 2019 are sports and women. And so we have initiated, a friend of mine, a friend of ours who's on the committee, is doing, and I want to say her name correctly, Benancia Stevenson Escarate, who was an important woman here in El Paso.
What was that first name?
Benancia.
Benancia, with a B?
With a B.
Oh, I didn't ever hear that one.
See?
I learned something today myself.
And again, there's a big focus on undertold stories.
Who was she, by the way?
We're going to have to wait till Nancy writes it all out.
Oh, no, no. She had a deer problem.
She had a deer problem?
Isn't this the lady that had a deer problem, Juana Escarate?
She was part of the Escarate family.
The Escarate family of Juana Escarate and the Escarate Grants.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Juan Stevenson from the Rancho Concordia married Juana. That's how he got his land.
And okay. That's the name you want to put on the marker.
Yes.
Well, she died how?
Old age.
No.
No. Juana died.
Benancia.
You got two women here?
Yes.
Separate. Yeah. Juana was a long time ago. She was Rancho Concordia.
She died.
Benancia came along a lot later.
Yeah. A couple generations later.
Benancia was old a age. Daughter.
This is cool. So that one died of old age.
Yes.
But the first one, the Concordia Cemetery occurred because of?
A deer.
Deer gore.
Yeah. Can you imagine having a pet deer and all of a sudden he gets upset one day?
And
scrambles your insides with their horns?
Yes,
I mean, that's
was,
just not
he
good.
He was going through
not
an exciting period in his life.
Not good at all.
Crazy. Okay, but back to the point.
And so, as I said, there's a focus on certain groups, such as women, African-Americans, who have been undertold, left out of history.
Mark's name was quoted in an El Paso Inc. story about 3 weeks ago on somebody you were doing.
Yes, I was going to mention that. That's one of the ones that we're hoping to get through as a new marker this year, and it's the 1966 victory by Texas Western College over the University of Kentucky basketball team, the NCAA. And we've asked Ray Sanchez to prepare that application and text for that marker. So that one fits within the theme for this year of the Texas Historical Commission, which is, as Barbara was mentioning, is sports and women. So we're hoping that we can have that submitted by January 15th, November 15th, as an application for a new marker. And that would be, once it's prepared and it's smelted, it should be put up somewhere at UTEP, maybe by the Don Haskins Center. We'll see.
That makes sense. And you would know where to put it.
Well, we have to request.
We have to request it. It's up to the owner.
But you used to work there.
I used to work. Yes.
You have a suggestion?
I would, but again, you know the politics of.
Well, do they put them inside buildings? They do.
Sometimes they put them on the exterior of buildings, and sometimes there are standalones. Standalones are a little bit more problematic, perhaps, there because people wander everywhere getting into the building and they might fall over it. Well, not a good thing.
Once upon a time, those markers were granite, were they not? Were they all right?
No. Some are pole mounted. The granite ones are even, I'll just be blunt,
those
more
are old
expensive.
Ones.
Those are, yes.
But so, can you still get one of those?
Well, a lot of the old granite ones went up. 1936, when the state recognized the centennial,
right,
its independence, and so they're all over. There's one at Waco Tanks right now, and a lot of those are badly eroded. They're deteriorated and need to be replaced.
You can't really read them.
That's true.
There's a whole bunch of them down there at La Hacienda.
There's
a marker area.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but right now, since the area is pretty much fenced in. Even though there are, lovely road signs to get you there, it's fallen into some disrepair.
There's one inside that building on the wall.
Yes, there are.
And there's nobody going to see that except Chip when he goes in there to look for mice.
That's
or something.
Correct.
And so in the meantime, markers should be visible, and there's nothing you can do about it now.
But one thing I wanted to mention, too, is that just because you apply for a marker, subject marker in this case, to Texas Historical Commission, doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Right.
It has to meet certain criteria. And I'd like to go over those real quickly here so that the public is aware of the kinds of criteria they use when scoring these over at Texas Historical Commission in Austin. Age is a consideration, as we already talked about, the 50-year mark, 30-year, or 10. The significance, certainly if it's has historical and or architectural significance. The integrity or state of repair is of consideration as well. The diversity of topic in the marker program. They have a variety of topics, and they want to add more to that and make it more diverse. And then diversity among this particular group of markers. Then they also look, as Barbara mentioned, for undertold or untold aspects of history. That you get so many points for each one of these when they're rating them. Endangerment level, which is what we're talking about right now, how much at risk are they? A lot of these, frankly, are at risk because of their age. The documentation and resources that are included receive a certain number of points. The relevance to other THC programs, and they rate us, they compare us to other county historical commissions throughout the state. So we only get so many per year. So it's, like I said, we can't just.
But what if we have better and more history than these other counties?
Well, we know we do.
Exactly.
We know we do, but we can't make those final.
Matter.
And then the final one is relevance to correct current thematic priorities, which is what we just talked about dealing this year with women in sports.
Okay, look, what if you had too much money and you wanted to get some markers? Somebody in El Paso could pay for them?
Okay, now there's a difference between the THC marker and a local marker.
Oh.
Now, a local marker, which as far as visually, it looks much the same, and Southwell also makes them.
Uh-huh.
But those do not have to be approved by THC.
Yeah, I want one of those.
So if you have basically, they still need to have significance, but if you have the money, then that kind of is outside of the process, and it is not one of the say 5 to 6 approved for El Paso per year by THC.
And where do you get the money for those?
Well, usually the person, it's usually like a group or a person or someone outside of that wants to put it forth, and they pay for it. Now we have like in Isleta right now, Isleta School. All of the schools down in Isleta are doing local markers, and they're in process right now. And basically, that money was solicited, and they have grants and everything. They put all of that together, and they're currently paying for 4 markers, 2 in English, 2 in Spanish, and they have 3 in the works that they're going to do for other significant buildings in Isleta. Those are all local markers.
The county, though, is donating $1,000 for the Isleta school, so we're doing a matching sort of arrangement with that particular marker.
But for your markers that you do that is straight up your markers, they come from the local commissioner's court.
Yeah, and even on with the Isleta markers, they work with us. You know, there is still part of the process, but the payment is a bit different.
All right, we're going to take one more break here, come back, and find out if you want a marker, what are you going to do about it? There's a question for you. And we shall do that at 544-KTSM if you really need to talk to us. Otherwise, we'll be back in a moment.
Attention, Lodging Group is giving out 5 days in a luxurious resort in Orlando for 4 people with shuttle and tickets to a theme park for only $299. But you must tell me the name of a country without the letter A in its name. You know it? A country that does not have the letter A in its name. You go with your family to Disney with tickets to a theme park. Call now 1-888-330-7923. 1-888-330-7923. You'll get 5 days in the magical world of Orlando with free shuttle and tickets to a theme park only for the first 20 callers. Tell me a country without the letter A in its name. 1-888-330-7923. 1-888-330-7923. If you're one of the first 20 callers, we'll add a second bonus destination to Las Vegas, Nevada for the same $299. Call now and tell me a country without the letter A in its name. 1-888-330-7923. 1-888-330-7923. That's 1-888-330-7923. Lodging Group, LLC. Certain restrictions apply.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k, IRA, or investment account? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. Many experts warn of a stock market crash any day now. And if it's anything like the last 2 crashes, you could lose 50% or more of your hard-earned savings in the Wall Street casino. Can you afford to lose half of your retirement savings again? Hey, you don't have to lose a penny, because there's a better, safer way to save for retirement. And you can learn all about it in a free report. This is the report Wall Street and big banks desperately hope you never see. Why? Because this method continues to grow your money even when the market tumbles. It lets you take back control of your money and finances, and it gives you penalty-free access to your savings. Plus, it beats the pants off any 401k or IRA. These are uncertain times, so get the information you need today to guarantee your retirement security. To get this free report, go to bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. bankonyourself.com.
Protect your world. Get your flu shot today at Walgreens and receive a coupon to earn a $10 reward on your next purchase of $30 or more. Reward valid on future purchase. Vaccine restrictions apply. Terms and restrictions apply to coupon.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got Melissa's already gone to the grave, so to speak. She's alive over there, but that's at Concordia. That's today going on right now till 3. And get down there for some history. Let you know one thing. November 13th through 16th coming up, there's a help plan the future of the Mission Trail. This is important because the El Paso County Heritage Tourism Coordinator, Valerie Venencia, and she is with the county. At 546-2177, they're going to have this at the Tigua Tribal Courthouse, 9241 Socorro Road. Discuss making the Mission Trail a World Heritage Site through UNESCO. That's one of the major, and this is like a 3-day of charrette. So get a hold of the county lady, Valerie, and 546-2177, 3108 is her extension. What do you know about this, Barbara?
The UNESCO site is the highest level of basically acknowledgement. So
it's World Heritage.
Yes, it's World Heritage. So basically, you go through things like local markers to, you know, state markers to national markers, and of course, to be a UNESCO site, that is a world marker. And so what? And that is a long process. And not only that, there are just so few awarded per year, and obviously every country's in the running. It's not just like every county.
So how do you match up worldwide?
So basically, it is an important site, and we all feel that we should be applying for this, but it's just going to take you have to start and then go on and
that's
on in the process.
That's what this charrette is about.
Yes. So this
get a hold of that lady and see.
Yeah, Valerie's awesome.
It's a long process to get World Heritage recognition. Yeah. It can take a lifetime almost.
We got Barbara Welch in here with Mark Calamia. Mark, you had some ideas you want to hit.
Oh, yes. Well, I just wanted to mention some of the new markers that we have that we planned for application submission by November 15th that we didn't mention earlier. The Turney House, the Second Baptist Church, possibly Waco Tanks. We already talked about locally Isleta High School and Isleta Elementary School, the Taves House, Hendricks Law Sanatorium, and as I said, the Texas Western 1966 team win. So those are the new ones that we're going to be, or most of those, will be applying for hopefully by November 15th.
And somebody in the audience is yelling, I want this as a marker, I want this, and they can call you or contact you.
Mm-hmm. And I want to...
Put your number out again, 310?
Yeah, sure. My number is 303...
303, okay.
526.
526.
8272.
8272. And when you call that number for a good time, you get Mark Calamia.
Yeah, I'll be happy to help you.
There you go.
As co-chair. And I want to take just a moment here to thank a number of people who have been very diligent in working on this committee, starting with my co-chair Barbara Welch right here. We couldn't do this without her help. I mean, she's really been very good. She's very good with budgeting and Excel sheets and program planning. She's done a lot of this in the past, so she's wonderful. And I want to thank the other people who are on this committee. These are the markers committee here that I'm mentioning: Al Borrego, Harry Kirk, Shelby McHugh, Nancy Gonzalez, Prince McKenzie, and Rick Quesada. And they're non-commissioners also, and we didn't talk about that, but non-commissioners, people from the community, are invited if they wish to be sit in on the committees and work with us. And we have three that have been very active for many years: Mark Sayak Ortega, Gary Williams, and George Torok.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to give special thanks to some people who have been very, very influential. They're no longer on the committee, but Robert Word and Bernie Sargent and Janine Young, who's the chair of the El Paso County Historical Commission, who has an active interest in markers and often sits with our committee.
Mark Calamia, thank you for coming in here. Barbara Welch, thank you for coming in here.
Thank you.
Historical Commission activities is an ongoing thing. If you
absolutely
want to get involved, 303
526-8272. It's the most active committee in the El Paso County Historical Commission.
There you go. And it's an important thing. You got somebody in the window there looking at you there. Shelly's on there too. Hey, Shelly, thank you for doing what you do here today. Sergio Valenzuela in the control room. Thank you guys very much. Melissa and I will be back here next week talking again some more stuff about El Paso history. Thank
awesome
you all for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Out to Concordia, people. It's ongoing now till 3. See you there.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.